hearing. So the first half of the meeting, just so you know, Andy, I didn't get here until probably 6:45. I was running behind, but so Daniel took the reins for the first part of the meeting. So I'm here, called it to order, and then as far as attendance, I've got that here. April, that's what this is?
That's for attendance,
yep,
for mileage.
Okay, yep. That's excused. I don't have the agenda pulled up yet, but I'm gonna grab it here. All right. So this is the land use items hearing. It's looks like 5 minutes after 7:00. We're getting started, and we've got the tabled request to review and possible action on the floodplain zoning ordinance. Do you want to read that, Andy, or do we have anything else that we need to do before getting right into it?
Probably just kind of running through the list on there so that it's the public hearing process.
Okay. So I guess I'll go through the form of the list here. So the meeting is called to order at 7:05. The committee that's present here is Supervisor Gashke, Supervisor Bishaw, Supervisor Franco, Youth and Governance, Oxa, and Olivia, and Chairman Carroll. So the only excused person is Supervisor Kubicki. We did not have a work session this week because just have the floodplain ordinance to discuss. Andy, the legal posting in the newspaper, I'm assuming that that's all in order?
2/26 and March 6th.
Okay. We don't have any petitioners. You would be the petitioner, right? Essentially bringing this forward. So I think we are able to go ahead and get this going.
Okay.
You want me to read the item, or do you want to read it?
We need it removed from the table.
Mr. Chair, I make a motion that we remove this from the table so that we can take action on it.
Okay. Motion by Supervisor Gashke, second by Supervisor Bishaw. How do we vote on this, starting with Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Aye. Supervisors?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. We're off the table.
I'll read it into the record then. This is ordinance amendments to the text of Kenosha County General Zoning and Shoreland Floodplain Zoning Ordinance. The proposed text changes will adopt the state FEMA model floodplain zoning ordinance as a standalone subsection of Chapter 12, superseding existing floodplain language in Chapter 12 and authorizing such pertinent language to be removed. Such model ordinance is compliant with the Code of Federal Regulations, Title 44, Chapter 1, Section 60 of the Wisconsin Administrative Code, Chapter NR 116, including the adoption of the new flood insurance rate maps and the new flood insurance study. And with that, I think I will bring up the flood panel. So basically what is happening throughout the whole county is that FEMA finally completed the flood study for the Fox River and Lake Michigan. And with that, you can see this map here that shows all these panels and these squares. The ones in red are all the new ones. And so the ones that we're concerned about are the ones over here, not in the village of Salem. And then you have these over here in Pleasant Prairie, the city in summer. So all these communities, including Bristol, have had to adopt new flood panels. And in doing so, the DNR had requested that we separate the floodplain ordinance from the county zoning ordinance. So basically, the county zoning ordinance, as it was written way back in the 80s, as well as almost every other county in southeast Wisconsin working with SewerPAC, has a blended ordinance where the floodplain, the shoreland, and the zoning are all into one ordinance. So that's the way we've had it. It becomes difficult for agencies to review it when they are looking to, when they have their own model ordinance. So the DNR has their FEMA approved model ordinance that's just for floodplain. So then they have to search through this huge book of 600 pages and find where everything is, and becomes very difficult. So they asked for us, as well as the rest of our communities, if we would consider pulling it out and have it as a separate subsection of the zoning ordinance. So it'd be zoning and then floodplain. And so originally, when we had this presented to us even 10 years ago, we didn't do it. And at this time, as we thought through it, we felt that it was probably best to do that, because then any change to the floodplain ordinance in the future, all we have to do is adopt the change. We don't have to send our ordinance to the DNR and FEMA for review, so it becomes a much simpler situation. So for us, we're taking the model ordinance, and we worked with them over the last several months to make sure that the existing county ordinance, which actually is the most restrictive floodplain ordinance in the state of Wisconsin, is that all those requirements that we've been doing since 1983 would carry over in the model ordinance. So all those changes have been completed. And in doing that, then we're also adopting all these panels that are in red as new floodplain panels that with the new flood study. And in conjunction with that, there's a flood insurance study, a big study that is put together with all the data and information. So nothing's changing from a standpoint of how the floodplain is being administered. It's just going from a mixed ordinance to a standalone ordinance in a design that is a model ordinance from the state DNR. So with that, I guess I'll take any questions.
Quick question. You said these are new floodplain panels. Is there, I'll call it a collateral impact change at all? Do we have new areas that would be impacted, or a change in the way they'd be impacted, or anything like that, or is it simply just ordinance relocation?
The flood study that they did, there are some areas that did change. So there's some areas that the floodplain increased, there's some areas where the floodplain decreased, and that's because we have better data. When the floodplain was originally done for the Fox River, we had 2-foot contours for the topography. Now we have 1-foot contours, and plus the model has been improved over all those years, and the rain data has changed to reflect how the rain events that we have now. So those are the things that changed. We are not aware of, there are not any structures that I'm aware of that are in the floodplain now that weren't before. The last time the floodplain was looked at, the Powers Lake area had some properties that ended up being in the floodplain. We had to notify them directly. In this particular one, we didn't have anyone that we had to notify directly.
So our inventory of known floodplain impacted properties hasn't changed. It's essentially the same, static.
Correct.
Okay. That's what my primary concern was. Thank you.
Looking at this map, and now I now understand the first section up there where it lists all the panels that were done in 2012, and then now the new ones were from 4/11 to 24, is what it looks like. Yeah. So item number 3 under the official maps, the flood insurance rate maps.
Correct. Yeah. So those are all being adopted right, with that future date that FEMA has that we're all working towards.
Right. So we've got underneath number 1 is what you're saying is that those are all the ones that are in black up there. And then you've got the flood insurance rate maps. There's one from 2017, and then there's the rest of them are from updated for the 4/11/24 is what it looks like.
Correct.
Okay. So one of the things that I have a question about is the substantial, well, before I get to that, there's some comments in the right-hand column here along with some highlighted language, like section number 2, general standards applicable to all floodplain districts. Can you explain what's happening with the comments on the side?
There's comments. Those were just comments as we were amending everything, working with the DNR. I turned them off on here because those have all been completed.
So this was on the floodplain ordinance that's available through the hot link off the agenda. That's what I was working on.
I just see it. That column is there. Yeah, that really shouldn't be there. Those are just kind of working comments that we worked through. Everything's been resolved in the comments.
Yeah, because it talks about recommending adding language, and the attorney suggested.
Right, so we have an email from the DNR that approved this version with all the comments turned on. So we have that email, it's in the file, to show that we have an approved, the DNR approved our, what we have here in front of us.
So this ordinance, from what I understand, because being on the village board, we had to adopt a floodplain ordinance as well, an updated version of our floodplain ordinance. So this does not impact like the village of Twin Lakes or Paddock Lake or city of Kenosha? Is
no.
It just county?
Just unincorporated townships.
Okay.
Brighton, Paris, Wheatland, Wrangell. And I guess technically the unincorporated town of Summers, what remains.
Okay. So Salem Lakes is doing their own thing as well too? I know that
Correct.
They were kind of back and forth on whether we're doing their zoning or not, right?
Right, but they already approved their floodplain ordinance.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the things that I was looking for that we had debated at the village level was, I think it's called Act 175.
Mm-hmm.
And are you familiar with that?
Mm-hmm.
Is the language that's in here, does that incorporate language 170 or Act 175 or no?
It does not.
Is that a decision point for us to make, or has that already been?
Well, I guess we made that only because we wanted to reflect the ordinance that we had without change.
Okay. So what they explained to us at the village was that that was a change since the previous time when we had adopted the ordinance, and it came to the board for us to make that decision whether we included it or didn't include it. So I was just curious, is that a decision for us as a board to make on this, or is it already, you know, is that available to make a decision?
I guess, yes, that would be up to the committee and the board to do. What we are bringing before you is the same ordinance that we had, and in keeping with that, then we would not include Act 175.
Okay. Is there a recommendation, or has it been thought about one way or the other, whether it should or shouldn't be included, or?
I guess from our perspective, just because of the fact that we have the floodplain buyout and how we've worked with that, is that would be working in opposite directions. And so that's why, from our perspective, planning development, we decided against having Act 175 included.
Okay. I think that's our discussion, again, going back to the village board level, was that we actually adopted the language of 175 because there were only, I think, three or four properties that fell within the floodplain. And basically, being that the lakes, being in a floodplain of a lake is different than being in the floodplain of a riverway.
Mm-hmm.
And we felt that, you know, allowing the homeowners to, because it seems like today it doesn't take much to get, you know, so much damage to get over 50% of a value, equalized value of the property. So we're like, instead of making it more arduous on our citizens, we just said, well, we'll adopt this 175 in order to allow those few properties, because we didn't view those as high-risk properties. I would say yes, that along the Fox River, that those are more higher risk, and that there is more potential for damage, and yes, we want to keep the houses, structures, and property out of there. So, but this falls within like the village, like the town, like powers like Town Randall. So then this, I'm trying to think what other lakes would be here, that it's mostly just Randall or powers.
Yeah, well, I mean, Lily Lake, there really isn't.
Right.
Benedict Lake, there aren't any structures in. I think Powers Lake is the only area that would have some structures that would be in.
Okay. And there's probably a few, right? Like very
a handful.
Few. Yeah.
Can you clarify the type? Are those residences, businesses,
residences,
or other structures?
I'd have to relook. There used to be one, at least one business, which I think is out now, but I would have to look.
Sorry.
So, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but just, I don't know if the other supervisors know what it is, but the Act 175 language was basically would allow repair or additions to non-conforming structures in the floodplain that exceeded 50% of the value of the structure. Because right now it's restricted to you know, if there's damage to a structure and if it's over 50%, then you're not allowed to, was it rebuild or something like
correct.
That?
Correct.
Yeah. So, and I think that that's important in the riverways, things like that. And I was just real curious, you know, how many structures were affected by that, not within the river, because it can be a challenge, you might say, you know, to I guess the value of houses, it seems to be, are so expensive and the cost to rebuild them are so high or repair them that you could easily get to 50% of the equalized value without having a tremendous amount of damage, whereas in years past, maybe it was a little different. It just seems like the cost of things today are just so much more. So I didn't know if that was something that was worth entertaining or not, and I just wanted to let everybody know that that is a possibility or a decision. Probably not a decision we need to make tonight, but at some point in time, if we ever decided to, could we always go back to?
Could. I mean, the corporate ordinance can always be amended at any time in any way.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Are you concluded?
Yeah, go ahead. Okay.
So you said we have the most restrictive floodplain ordinance in the state?
Correct.
What makes it the most restrictive? What's the differentiator?
So, one, the county views the floodplain as all one unit, as opposed to where it's broken into the flood way, which is the flowing water, and then the flood fringe, which is like the backfill water. So if it wasn't the county ordinance, there would be the allowance to build in the flood fringe as long as it was flood protected, which either would be built on 2 feet of fill, or it could be elevated 2 feet above the floodplain elevation, and then the lower level is constructed for water to flow through. So the county does not permit that. Secondly, that like with the Act 175, we don't permit that. And so then there is that limitation if there's damage from a flood to a residence of that 50%.
And to be clear, it's only a flood. So like if the structure burns,
they can't rebuild.
They can't rebuild because it's not caused by damage from a flood.
Correct. They can build it the same size, same location as it was. Yeah, it's only the flood that does the damage.
But under the Act 175, it would give latitude to exceed the 50%.
Right.
If I understand.
In the flood fringe.
And only damage related to a flood.
Correct.
Okay. But in the fringe, not in the flowing.
Correct. Because nothing's actually permitted in the floodway where the water flows, because that obstructs the flow.
When's the last time we had an incident that had a residence that exceeded, and what was the outcome?
Well, in 2017, when we had the huge floods along the Fox River, I mean, we ended up having like 20 homes that exceeded the...
So 20 condemned?
Right, and then we ended up buying them all out.
So there is a proviso in there, we will buy the properties and return them to natural floodplain.
That is the program that the county has had, and even to be proactive in buying from, you know, past floods.
Yeah.
But it's always all based upon money, which we didn't even get declared as a natural disaster, so the federal funds didn't come here. They went to other places, and then when those other places finished their program and there was leftover funds, then they called Kenosha County because they know we have a very good program. And they said, all right, we have some funds for you. What do you have? And we have a whole list ready to go. And then we just give it to them, and then we have to just do the match.
Okay. Could you give an estimate how many more properties do you think in the future may be
in our jurisdiction? So our jurisdiction, so I guess I've always counted the floodplain as total, and I think there's about 30. So I'm just gonna guess that there's probably about 15 that are in Wheatland, and then the other 15 are probably still in Salem Lakes.
So nominal.
Give or take.
Nominal as a whole.
Correct.
And those are all along the Fox River corridor.
Correct, those are along the Fox River. And those are at an elevation. They're still in the floodplain, but they did not get water in their first floor in 2017.
Okay.
And so that was the worst flood we ever had.
Yeah. So they're basically waterfront homes that they're built at a time in the past, they're probably small, I'm going to make assumptions, some smaller structures, but they're along that corridor. So to, and where I'm heading is, in my mind then, is this Act 176?
175.
75. Something that we should be considering, maybe, maybe not. Sounds like we have a very robust program already in position, and we have, I'll call it a nominal long-term impact, 30 potential units of property, so 2x3.
And that's really the intention of my, me bringing that up, is just understand it as a board, does that something that we feel is, would be helpful to our residents, hurtful to our residents, how would it, how does it interact with what's happening with the flood plan that we've got going on here, the buyback program, things like that.
So just a median number, call it 200,000 per property, is $6 million potential capital outlay, which in the overall scheme of things is fairly nominal.
And so, and we have a list of about 20 people, so that's between both communities, that have indicated and signed letters of intent that they would like to be bought out when funds become available.
Okay. All right.
But those are probably not on the lakes, the inland lakes.
No, those are, that's only on the Fox River, because that's the only area we have the buyout program.
Right.
I'm just trying to pull up the map. I can kind of show you where the area is. It's taking a little bit.
If I kind of steered us back, our specific motion is to the language being moved. So
just to adopt the model ordinance as we amended it to reflect the current ordinance, so there's no change.
Okay. Right, understood.
And then the way we did it, because of the time constraints that we had, is that we didn't go back and eliminate all the areas that, that we need to. So the language of the ordinance is allowing us, and the resolution is allowing us, to go back and then strike out all those areas, because we can't have the floodplain language in two places.
Mm, right.
So once we have it done, we'll go back and we'll strike it all off, because it's scattered all throughout the whole ordinance.
Okay. And basically what it says is that this ordinance supersedes all previous floodplain ordinances within that, was it part of section 12 or something like that?
Correct. And at some time it might be good, because I'm not even sure how familiar everyone is, and probably maybe when we get the new board, who's all with us, is we can explain the whole floodplain buyout program, what we've been doing, where it's been, where we want to go.
Well, it's been around for what, 30 years or something like that?
I think 91.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So initially it was pretty robust, because there were a lot of properties affected, and I think you've come a long way.
I think, I'm going to just guess again, it was about 120 homes that have been purchased so far.
Yeah.
And then additional vacant lots too, which I'd have to count it all to find out how many.
Okay.
Sorry, it's a huge file. It's taken a long time to open.
That's fine. One of the things that I also noticed too, reading through this, was, and it's probably some small ticky-tacky thing, but it's just how my brain works. So on the top of page 14, so it's number 18 of 40, so it's section just above 3.4, prohibited uses. It's the next line above that, under subsection D. It says, fill is not classified as a solid or hazardous material. So when I think about that, it's like, if it's classified as a solid material, that would be like a rock in my book. But it probably means like a solid or hazardous waste material, right? Is that the...
I'm going to guess that as well, because that's language right out of the model ordinance.
It just, you fill not classified as solid material. It's like, oh, what do you... Okay, I mean, I understand the hazardous side, but it just basically says fills are depositions of materials. Fills or deposition of materials may be allowed by permit if the fill is not classified as a solid or hazardous material. You get what I'm saying? It's like, It should be.
What's the alternative?
I think they're missing the word waste in there. Or solid waste material, like, because if it's a solid material, it could be a rock, right?
Right.
It's defined by a lawyer.
Well, I understand that, just.
I mean, I
call it an engineer's review.
I can look to see if somehow in all the edits that something didn't get removed.
Right.
Yeah.
But it says a solid material. It's like, well, I would think you'd want a solid material as a fill material.
But let's just take a look. That was page 14.
Yeah. Page 18. It's 14 is the number on the bottom of the page.
Oh.
So above 3.4.
3.4, right here.
Yeah.
Oh, right here. The fill is not classified as a solid or heavy material. Yeah, we didn't touch that at all.
Okay. But if you look, it just says that fills or deposition of materials may be allowed by permit if the fill is not classified as a solid or heavy material. Maybe that's some sort of a lawyer definition or something like that. I understand the hazardous part. I was just like.
Yeah, and those are the areas that we cannot change, because if we change them, then we have to get DNR approval, because those are DNR and FEMA language.
Okay, well, it's probably not something that most people read. Or they just glance over it. It just struck me, so.
So I have the map here, and I'll just show you,
because
then maybe it just kind of helps you to realize everything. So this is just one of several different maps that we have. So if you look, so here is Highway 50. Can you see my cursor here, right?
Yes.
Okay, and then you got the Fox River. So this is the Wheatland area. And then these two peninsulas are Salem Lake. So this is the old Silver Lake, which is now Salem Lakes. This part was in the village of the town of Salem. And then this was parts of the village of Silver Lake. So these are the areas that we're working with. So at this scale, if you look, the yellow, the light yellow, are the areas that have been purchased. So really, if you let your eyes look, the only things that are a concern are the dark green with the orange. The orange is a structure, and the dark green is showing that it's a property that's owned by a private citizen with a structure. The light green are vacant lots. So we've been trying to acquire the vacant lots. I think at some point we're actually thinking of using some of the floodplain monies to see if we can just outright like purchase them from the citizens. We've gone through some donation process letters that send out because it's floodplain. You can't build on it, but there's people all across the country that's owned them or are handed down to them, and they just pay the $100 in taxes and they don't really know what they have. So every year when we do it, we get a couple off of there. But the intent is for this whole peninsula to be where it can be used as a park. And then the village of Salem Lakes has interest, at least in this southern peninsula. And we talked to them about this middle peninsula, that they would eventually like to have this as a park for them as well. But there's these couple scattered properties. These are vacant down here. And then over here, there's a couple homes, and then over here, there's three on this main peninsula. And if you remember the stories when we talked about Smokey or the son of Smokey, his house was right on the peninsula here. So that was burned down last fall, and then the remains were just scooped up, I think, last week.
The reality of those meanders is eventually a river likes to go straight through that area, so.
Correct, and so we're actually working with Fox River Commission, with the Army Corps of Engineers, with Sewer Pack, and we applied for a grant through the Army Corps. Actually, we applied for a grant, and then we applied for a 206, I think, project through Army Corps, where they would help us to take all this and mitigate the flooding, create flood storage areas, and then remediate the area. Similar kind of to what we're looking at trying to do along the pike, we would be doing the same thing here. And so we haven't heard back from them for some time, but we toured it with the Army Corps. They felt it was a tremendous project that they'd like to work on. Because what they would do is they'd put cuts in here, you know, right here, they'd put cuts to cut through so it doesn't go around here. See, we have problems because every time it does this, it pounds against Highway W and erodes it, as you well know, it was closed. So if we can get the water to flow straight over, so then we put cuts in here, we might dig some areas of some ponds, might look to acquire some land here so that the water gets held back and doesn't have to flow and keep hitting it there and hitting it here and then down here. It hits it over here, and then just off the map, but right there, there's the
bridge.
Yep, the bridge, and on the underside of the bridge, it's being scoured.
Yeah.
So if we can do all these things, it can help it, the infrastructure. So it's kind of like a dual thing, is trying to preserve the infrastructure, but do it in a way that it restores the waterway and the wetlands, because right now we're just pounding in sheet piles. I mean, that is not very ecological, you know, and environmental to do that, but it works great for protecting the highway.
But it's a defensive maneuver, not a
proactive
to
correct
the situation.
So that's where the grant that we applied for, and with Army Corps, they see that, and they think it's a great project where they could come in and they could do both. Hey, you're getting me going on floodplain. I can talk a long time.
I figured you could.
You're all washed up.
And I wouldn't have known about Act 175, but for it coming in front of the village and us having a discussion, a healthy discussion about it as well. So, okay. So is the next step to for this committee to vote on whether we approve the ordinance? Send it off to the county board.
Correct.
And then you had another question in to me too to find out from Chairman Nudo if we can do it in one reading.
Correct. So I've heard back from the county executive that Chairman Nudo is not too indicative on changing the rules.
We just have to make a motion from the floor to set aside the rules.
So I guess we just have to have a conversation up front to know if he'd be receptive to that.
Why are we doing that? Just
the only reason why we would do that is, well, one, there was some fear that we might not have a full quorum, but I'm being told that we will have a quorum for April 3rd because there's some huge public works items that are going to have to be voted on, and they feel comfortable that everyone's going to be there, that they can be voted on. So that takes away that fear. The other was that we have to have this published by April 11th, and so there's a lot of timing aspects, which again, we can fulfill. It just becomes really tight. And if the two readings were combined, then it gives us like 2 weeks to do that. It gives us a little breathing room. So we're okay if it doesn't. So I think it was just the ask if he'd be open to doing it. If he would be, great, because then I have to show up on the 19th. If he's not open to do it, I don't show up until the 3rd, because the first reading, nothing happens.
Be hard-nosed, it's not up to him. If it comes as a motion from the floor, he has to entertain the motion, and then it's a two-thirds vote to set aside, and then we take up the action. If not, then it gets the one reading and it goes to the second reading.
So. Right. So I guess maybe, Aaron, if you are willing to check, talk to him and see if he's open, because or not. I mean, again,
sure,
I think we can do it either way now that we have assurance that the 3rd will have a quorum. We weren't quite sure if that was going to happen because of the election.
So the 3rd is it's a Wednesday. And, oh, I see that the
meeting's
moved.
It's the day after the election and everything's moved around. Yeah.
Right.
Gotcha. Now I full understanding now. So I was like, what do you mean the 3rd? Okay. So the first reading is going to be on the 19th. So it's
correct.
Going to be next week. And essentially, what you want to know is if on the 19th, if it's going to be considered, then you would show up on the 19th.
Correct. If he's open or everyone's open to suspend this, you know, two readings, then I'll be there because I'll need to be able to be there for answering questions. But if not, it's okay. We got it. We have assurance that we can make it work both ways. So it's not as I think last month when I presented, I was thinking it was a little more dire, but now hearing that basically the 3rd, there's going to be enough supervisors there to vote, because it's just a majority,
yeah.
That we don't really have that fear. We've already talked to the county exec's office so that she would sign it like right the next day. And we always talk to the clerk so that they're alerted that they have to publish it on Monday. So we're all set up to be able to do it. So I'm not going to force something if this isn't a good thing to do, because I think we're all set up to do it the normal way.
I'm just wondering if there isn't some way to notify the board members that this is an important thing, to make sure to try to be there for it. Not that they wouldn't any otherwise, but, you know, I'm just...
We only need a simple majority to pass, though, right?
Correct.
We need a two-thirds, so...
Correct.
As long as we have a quorum of the board, we can pass it.
So then I think that I can probably make that announcement when we talk about it on the reading. Well, they probably aren't even going to do anything on the reading, but it'll be in my supervisor comments.
Because it just gets right into the record.
Emphasize the importance of...
On the third.
That this has to get, we have to make sure that we have a majority and that it'll get passed on the third.
As well as other things that are coming, too.
Right.
I mean, not just this. I mean, there is some pretty big public works things.
I don't think we've ever, I haven't ever been in a meeting, I mean, then again, this is my first term, that we haven't had a majority at the actual county board meeting. It's always committees that are always at risk, right? So, I guess I personally don't feel like it's a risk at this point. So
let's just work with the normal procedures, do the first reading on the 19th, do the second reading on the 3rd, and we'll just let it be so we don't cause any waves or anything, and it just flows like normal.
So is it the 3rd that we're going to see the big bond issue on the health services?
Well, it has to pass tomorrow night. Yeah. In finance.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so then we'll just work with that, and then we just, I guess we just need a motion then.
Okay. All right. Do we have a motion of the board?
So moved.
Second.
All right. We have a motion by Supervisor Franco, second by Supervisor Gashke to, approve the floodplain ordinance. We'll take a vote here, starting with Yig. How do you vote on this?
Aye.
All right. The rest of this, the board?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Nope. Passed unanimously. So.
Approve the minutes.
Do we have any minutes to approve?
Yes, from 2/14/24.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Bashaw, second by Supervisor Gashke for February 14th of 24. Including Yig, how does everybody vote on this?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Passed. Any other citizen comments? Not seeing any. Citizen comments? Not seeing any. Any other business?
Just to let you know, as of today, we know we have one item for April, and we have...
There's like five to seven.
Several items May. For May. We already have an item for June.
Okay.
And we're, our intent is to continue meeting in here when we don't really have anyone coming. It just saves on the setup and the time, and we're able to accomplish it with what we have here. It seems to work okay.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah. So if we have a lot of people, we'll do a we'll be in the public hearing room, and we have a few people. It seems like it's been working fine in here.
Okay. And I guess we'll have to see if who's on the committee after April, right?
Well, either way, it'll be reshuffled after.
That's what I mean.
Sworn in, so.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. So.
Yeah.
Well, and I'll thank you guys for, you know, being on this committee. I mean, you guys have worked well with us. I mean, we've had some things come before that. We're pretty big and had to work through, and appreciate the time that you put in and the questions you've asked, and helped to advance the things that come through our office. So thanks for that. Hope you guys are back next round.
The big one was the mine that sticks
yeah,
out to
I'm
me.
About
right?
To say, as long as there's no gravel pit
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, by the way, I've driven by.
They haven't done a thing.
They haven't started yet.
No.
So
when were they supposed to start?
Last year.
They thought they would start in spring. Yeah.
It does look like they went out and dug a hole out in the middle of the field.
Oh, did they?
As of like 2 weeks ago or something like that. Yeah. So, because I was curious. I'm like, I was coming home from Burlington today. I'm like, I wonder if they're doing anything. I'm like, They haven't even done anything yet.
I've gone by periodically because I wanted to see the scope of the impact that everybody was concerned about. It's like, well, there's no impact.
Right.
And just so you know, I guess, you know, we had some citizens that were concerned, and then we hired that outside consultant to do the review, and we provided all that information to them, and they had asked for a meeting, and then we were completely open to it, but then they never responded back.
Okay.
It may come around.
They still, there still is a requirement, 5 years, right? So the clock is ticking on 5 years from when we approved it, when they got approval for the entire facility to be done. Because that, to me, that was the big thing that we did on that, is we put an end date on there and said, hey, you're going to be done in 5 years.
Right. So. Yep, that one, those meetings will go down in the record books.
You may get some citizens come back for that meeting now because the Burlington line extension out there is a topic of the news. So that'll create some energy.
Surprising,
I did have a question, Andy. Are there any updates for our committee about from the MJAC meeting? MJAC meeting, I should say. Has it been updated based on, you know, the meeting from a couple weeks ago? And is that something that comes before our committee here?
It does. So it'll come, and that's great too, because we a lot of times we forget about that. It'll come next month.
Okay.
And so we had the update. Do you have the update there? Yeah, okay, so we have the update that was approved, and then it comes before this committee, right?
And what's that for?
The multi-jurisdictional comprehensive plan.
Oh, okay.
So we do an annual review from all the communities and do updates to it. Yeah.
Okay.
So that'll be on the April agenda then for this committee?
Correct, yeah. There were some, we brought a draft, and there were a number of additions and language changes that the committee wanted in regards to the goals and objectives. That whole section is pretty big, and so we're going to finish that, and then with that, bring it to this committee in April.
That's good. That's all. Thank you.
Okay.
Motion.
Yeah.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Second
adjourned by Supervisor Bashaw, second by Supervisor Gashke. All those in favor, including you, aye. We're adjourned.